All right. Hello and welcome everybody back to another episode. My name is Lewis.
And I'm Lewis too. No,
Hi,
just kidding.
Lewis.
I'm Caleb.
And this is the Sidecar Coffee Podcast.
It
Today
is.
we are talking about just like a little update, talking about this summer, talking about what we look forward to for the rest of this summer, and also being in a cafe space and talking about what summer means, and just kind of blabbering on about that sort of things. But
Just a summer sidecar
there's
episode.
summer sidecar episode. To start off this summer episode, let's get into coffee we've been enjoying recently. In today's episode, we're both drinking sidecars. Caleb,
Yup.
what in the world is a sidecar?
A sidecar in our case, for those who don't know, is a double shot of espresso on the side of a small milk beverage with that same espresso used within that milk beverage to taste the effects of milk on espresso.
It's a really cool way to taste coffees. If this is your first episode with us, welcome. At the beginning of every episode, we taste a sidecar because we think it is a really good way to taste coffee, whether you are a beginner or a absolute veteran.
Scott Rowell, if you
It's
will.
cool. It's cool to taste the effects of milk on espresso, and it's unique to every single coffee. Today I'm drinking a coffee from September Coffee Roasters. We've had their coffee on this podcast before. It is roasted by our boy Kyle. I wish he was our boy, but
Our boy. He's definitely not our boy.
Alindus, an
Maybe he is.
industry professional, and GOAT, Kyle Rozel. And so it's a roaster out of Canada. And I'm drinking a coffee from Colombia. It is a washed Torroso. From Luis Eduardo. It's cool. It was interesting to me because this is my fourth Churroso. And this the variety itself, I feel like, is pretty, like, you can get multiple things from it. Like, we had an anaerobic one on our menu for the pop-up, and it was a complete fruit floral bomb.
Yeah.
And then we've had another one from like Upshot's Churroso, was super spicy, and like baking spices. And then I had a Churroso from Manhattan as well, and it was super like raisin, like baking spices, licorice. Like, it tasted like straight black licorice. This one is really herbal, so it still kind of holds on to that. I would feel like most Torosos I've had have been had like herbal notes to them. I think this one is one of the tasting notes they give is lemonade. I think it is very like limeade-esque. It's very sweet. It's a really green coffee. Like, it to me, it gives like really green notes, like refreshing, herbal, but it's also like pistachio and almost like baklava, like pistachio, orange, a little bit like bakey sweet honey.
Sounds ridiculous. That sounds
It's pretty
awesome.
good. It's a refreshing coffee. It's not like it's that's just a way that I would describe it, as like it's a refreshing.
What was the origin on this one again?
Colombia.
Colombia. Nice.
Going into the milk drink now. Dude, key lime pie.
Key
There's a
lime
weird
pie.
coconut thing going on.
Put the lime in the coconut and take it on a pie. Put
Real.
the
That's
lime in
real.
the
That's what's
coconut.
going on in my mouth right now.
It's the lime in the
The
coconut.
lime in the coconut, and it's getting shaken all up, dude. That's insane. I did not think it was going to be good in milk. And there's a weird acid going on, but it's really good. Cantaloupe, lime, coconut. I always use like melon descriptions in milk beverages, I feel like. I feel like more than not, I use it. But it's just like, I feel like melons are really unique in the way that they taste.
Melons.
Because they're
I
like
don't
creamy
know.
sweet, and that's what a milk beverage is. It's creamy sweet, you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
All right, dude, what are you drinking,
With
dude?
it, I'm drinking, actually, I don't know. I do know. It's from Valor Coffee. Shout out our boys from Valor Coffee. I wish. So it's a
Hopefully.
Rwanda low O2, so low oxygen. Natural, a low oxygen natural. I don't really know what that means, so we're gonna figure that out real quick. So it underwent a 72-hour low oxygen fermentation after being packed into sealed plastic tanks and placed under shade, promoting high intensity and complexity of fruity flavors and sweetness. Yum is exactly what it says.
Holy
So yeah,
crap.
it's a Rwanda natural. So
Sounds awesome.
yeah, I'm gonna give it a taste.
Let's see what's going on in my mouth.
Interesting. I'm not a fan, but I don't think I'm a fan of this on espresso. But I think it's also
It
just
was
one of
really
their,
good
I
on
think it's,
filter.
yeah, I think it's one of their filter offerings too. So,
Maybe it's a little bit
whoops.
harder to dial in.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with
I,
the milk
yeah,
dev.
I tried this coffee with Caleb the last time I was in Cape, and it was really good, which was about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks now.
It's
Valor's
very
based out
raisiny.
of Atlanta,
Marietta, Georgia.
somewhere in Georgia, just
Or
outside of Atlanta,
Alpharetta.
I
Yeah,
heard.
just outside of Atlanta.
And
Alpharetta.
Alfredo, Atlanta.
Crickets.
All right. All right, let's get How's that milk drink, man? What
No,
are you
wait,
rating it?
wait.
What are you rating it?
Let's
Let's
see.
hear about it.
This
Let's hear about it.
milk beverage, it's very like fig. And that's like all I'm getting. It's like fig and chocolate. But it also has like a chocolate croissant-y taste.
Pain du
I'm not a
chocolat.
fan of the espresso. The milk definitely makes it a lot better. And this is not a knock on Valor or the coffee itself. It's definitely one of their filter offerings, and so putting it on espresso just didn't work as well, which is
That's
fine.
all right. I think with some coffees, it's just not meant to be, or your experience is just going to be better on filter. I know with that
Yeah.
dialect coffee that we loved, I pulled it on espresso. Like it was still really good, but just like
Yeah.
on filter, it just got everything kind of I wanted out of it.
Yeah, and I think to knock some confusion on, because there's always like a there's a myth out there that like there's an espresso coffee, you know, like when you see espresso blend on a bag, it just means that like roasters have made that for what they use for espresso, meaning that with espresso typically, roasting is higher development. Times, and so within that it gets super nerdy, but basically you just develop the sugars a little more to extract better sweetness, more body,
Just the more
on
you roast
espresso.
coffee, the less, like the lighter the roast, the harder it is to extract. And in espresso, that can make a big difference. I don't think,
Amen.
it just makes it harder to pull. Like, especially with the coffees that I tend to drink, tend to be lighter. And so
Yeah.
all my shots are ugly for the most part. Meaning like looking at the portafilter or looking at it coming out, like splashing everywhere. I don't get a lot of really pretty shots, but when I do finally dial in a coffee after about two tries, it is delicious. I don't, I, you know, I've never, I've been liking espresso, especially recently, getting that new espresso machine. That's all I've been drinking. And so, I've been really loving espresso recently. I've done every single one of my coffees I've gotten on espresso. So, not to say like, you can do anything on espresso just because it's a filter
Yeah.
roast or an espresso roast doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
Honestly,
this one just didn't.
my personal opinion is like I just get filter roast for everything and pull it on espresso. Pardon me.
Yeah, and it's very few roasters I think that have like a filter and like espresso indicators on their website.
Yeah.
Some mo most roasters just kind of
Yeah.
roast for everything.
I would say my advice to the people that don't really understand this is don't pay too much attention to it. I would say my advice would be just get the filter Because it's going to, if you make it on filter, you're going to enjoy it a lot. If you make it on espresso, it might be a little harder, but it's still going to taste good. Like, even if it's over or under extracted, you'll still get most of the time a decent shot. And if anything, just pour some milk over it, it'll be right.
Yeah, for real.
But this coffee that Caleb's drinking, I wanted to go back into my notes. I wrote some notes about what I tasted out of it. It was pear, strawberry, and cherry out of the filter brew. And I just wanted to say, like, going into the this subject for this podcast is like what I've been kind of craving recently, and like what things kind of sell, I think, or what you see more common in summer is those more processed, African coffees. I think I always come summer, I'm always craving a natural Ethiopia, or some type of Kenyan coffee. I want to say, like, one of my favorite coffees I had last year was this anaerobic Ethiopia I had from Brandywine. And it was so good on espresso. And I'm just like, right now, at least, I'm just craving that. Like, I want like a fruit bomb,
Fruit bomb. Yeah, I
super
was just about to
good
say.
natural Ethiopia on espresso. That's all I've been craving recently. And that filter, that you made of that Rwanda was really good. I was really impressed by that. And I'd like to try more
It's
from
a
Valor.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of one of those coffees that just brews itself. I mean, because I think for that day, I just threw it on the Oreo, and it was, I didn't taste it, so I don't know. I hope it was great. You said it was great, so I'm gonna go with that. I do want to check out Valor. I also want to know what they roast on, just so I can like log that, and like what their coffees taste like. Because we've talked before about like specifically like Little Wolf, how they have like. There's a key indicator that like it's a Little Wolf coffee, and it's just with them roasting on what, Loring?
I can't remember. I don't think it. I want to say I don't know. We've had this
I don't
conversation
remember.
before and I can't
Yeah.
remember.
But yeah, no, Valor's got some good stuff. I also just like their whole vibe. It's their
It's
branding's
cool. The
spectacular.
box is sick and it comes with a sealed bag even though it's in a box.
Oh, let that sit.
Anyways, yeah, getting into summer coffee. I like coffee in the summer. I think it's hard to drink hot coffee in the summer.
Some people love it, man.
Yeah.
I can't get behind it.
But I think I can sneak in an espresso shot. I haven't been making that much filter recently. I think I'm gonna start messing around with an origami recipe. That's just something that I've been wanting to do recently. I need to get actual origami filter papers. But because I think in the morning I can drink a hot drink, but when it comes to afternoon coffees and like the coffee I make before I go into work, it's gonna be an iced Americano, and it has been for the past 2 weeks. That's just what I've been
Yeah.
making. I don't really like, I've never been truly impressed by a flash brew. And maybe that's just
Really?
because I, yes, maybe it's just because I don't have a good recipe, but even like going into shops or, you know, we have that decent, the decent AeroPress iced recipe, but
Yeah.
I've never been like, I've always, I always think I prefer just regular recipes that
Yeah,
over.
well, and with that too, like our that AeroPress recipe that we have, like we always add stuff to it. Like we either throw it over lime LaCroix or we put oranges in the brew, which that's a fire recipe. Like the orange in the AeroPress, that one's gas. But it's like orange juice is making that so much better. I've always found that they're lacking or they're over extracted when you don't even use that much water. So like I
Yeah.
don't know.
I don't know. I've even done like the, you know, Lance Hedrick, James Hoffman, they all have, you know, multiple influencers. Even I think this other guy I follow on Instagram, I can't remember his name, but they have AeroPress recipes or Ice V60s recipes. And this is what we're talking about here. If you guys have never heard of like what the heck is a flash brew, it is just a brew of coffee that is then iced. A lot of people do a more agitation, less coffee, less water out recipe because you're diluting it with ice. And so it's kind of hard to find the perfect ratio. And that's, I guess that's more of what I'm talking about. Maybe it's the coffee I'm using, but I think it always seems just a little hollow, and not as complex
Yeah.
as I would have that I like of something that I would get out of a normal brew. And so that's
Yeah,
something that's really
agree.
popular in the summer. I think recently I just you can't go wrong with an iced Americano or an iced sparkling Americano. Throw an orange peel in there. It's going to be refreshing. It's going to be delicious. At work, I've been making espresso tonics, really good, especially with Upshot's Summer Blend, which is Heat Waves, does really, really
That
well.
blend is fire.
It's
Like
really good, dude.
that cortado I had tasted like strawberry jam. And
It's
like you,
insane.
because that drink I got, it there's an option to come with jam, right?
Yes, and it's just
It
like a
tasted like
strawberry
it was
bomb.
in it.
I know.
Yeah, it tasted like it was already in it. I was like, wow, this is incredible.
That's been my go-to drink recently, like or like suggesting for people, 'cause again, like the same thing I was talking about at the beginning of this episode, like you just can't go wrong with a cortado, like
No, yeah.
and like coffee professionals can drink it, you can drink it if you don't really know anything about coffee. It is just, I guess, like a drink at all. Like you can drink at any level of where you're at in the industry. And I think it's a perfect stepping stone into this world of, you know, taste, like being interested in the stuff that you're tasting. I think
Yeah.
going into what shops can do, because, okay, so as a goal, you know, you opened your specialty coffee place, you work for a specialty coffee place. The reasoning behind that is serving people beautiful coffee, getting people into this industry of caring about their coffee. I think that, you know, that's a problem that we all face and that we all want to make a difference in, is introducing people to specialty coffee, being interested in sustainably grown, beautiful relationships, beautiful brewing, like this whole process of what specialty coffee is. I think representing that with your menu is something that's very important and something that needs to be thought out, and not just throwing caramel latte, not just throwing out vanilla latte. Because, you know, that's what a coffee shop is. That's what a majority of your drinks are going to be, regardless of where you're opening or who you are. Majority of your drinks most likely are going to be flavored lattes. That's just how it is. That's how this industry is. And so I think something that is really important is to focus on your specialty drinks, the drinks that you worked on as a cafe to, first of all, exclude yourself from everybody else. You know, if someone wants a caramel latte, they're going to go to Starbucks and they'll get the same one every single time. So why should they come to your cafe? It's because you crafted this unique drink yourself. And I think, honestly, I'm gonna pat ourselves on the back. Like the drinks that we made for our pop-up are drinks
Fire.
that I've never had anywhere else.
Yeah. I don't even remember like going through the like creative process. I don't really remember like how.
I think we were just kind of throwing things out there and we were like, yeah,
Yeah.
that would go good together. That would go good together. I think something that, you know, starts to become easier is the more you're in this industry, the more coffee places you're going to go to, one, the more people you're going to follow on Instagram that do coffee, the more menus you're going to see that people make, and you just start to put things together. And so
Yeah.
this is something that even in my spare time or on runs, I'll be thinking of like random syrups or random drink combinations that might be good. And I think this is something that needs to be kind of pushed more, is like as a home barista, just throwing together an Earl Grey lemon syrup and just being like, oh, I wonder what this tastes like in an iced
Yeah.
Americano. Or like people not being scared to just throw half a cup of water and sugar into a pan and just add random shit.
Yeah, I did just the other day a blueberry coriander syrup and it turned out really, really good. I also like coriander, I don't know. I've never played around with it until you were like, I literally put this in everything I cook. And I was like, okay, it must be pretty versatile.
I love
And
coriander.
so yeah, and like I don't know, it had like almost like a lemony like
It's floral, it's
savory.
sweet, it's savory. It's one of my favorite spices.
It's good.
And yeah, it's fantastic. This is something that, shops can easily make your own syrups. It's literally something that just takes time. All you need is water and sugar.
Yeah, and
And the
every time.
possibilities are endless.
Yeah, and then depending on what ingredients you're using, like if you're going out there and getting like some like
Saffron or something.
saffron, or if you're using like let's do a black truffle and saffron lemon syrup. It's like that one, I don't know if that would work, but two,
It's
those are
gonna
very
curdle
expensive
you.
ingredients. Yeah, it's very expensive ingredients. But like when you're just talking about caramel, like let's just put caramel sauce. You just cook down sugar. Now there's obviously technique to it, and then there's the labor that goes into it, but really all in all, your cost per ounce way cheaper than any bottled syrup that you'd buy,
100%.
especially when it comes to
And
sauces.
the fact that you can put on a menu, house-made syrups, people are gonna be like, oh, that's sick. I think that like half the time it's just like, oh, you guys make your syrups, that's awesome.
Well, it's
And then
also
also,
the attitude of like a lot of like owners are always like, well, they're not going to know the difference. It's
yeah.
like, I don't know, looking at a menu, I can tell the difference when it says house made and when it doesn't, and how that feels, you know?
Also, that's just another corner you're trying to cut as an owner. And for me, I don't really want to support that. If you don't want to be unique, if you don't want to stand out, if you don't want to care that your caramel syrup that you're buying has 10 ingredients versus one, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'd rather give my customers the best experience and the highest quality that I can, regardless of what costs more money in the long run. I think. And especially when you're talking about syrups that literally cost less. So make it make sense. If it's not worth your time, why do you own a business? Because that's all a business is your time and your effort and your kind of. That's what's beautiful about, like, it's your brand. You represent your business. And so it's like push that to the max because it's literally you. I don't understand. This is something that I get called snobby for. This is something that I get called picky for, is getting
Bougie.
angry at business owners. You go to a restaurant, you're like, why are they doing this? Or you go to a coffee place, you're like, this is like holding people
Yeah, but
accountable
it's like, yeah.
shouldn't be looked down on. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
Like,
especially when you're paying the price too, like you
especially now,
like
yeah.
especially like yeah, as a business owner, I bet like yes, you're paying the price. Like you're paying money to do these extra little things, but at least to the consumer, those extra little things are then seen as being more worth when they're paying the price tag, you know? Like,
Yeah.
let's say you have like a $21 entree and it's all like frozen stuff, like, and it's like very obviously not made in-house. The consumer can usually always tell. I think we're really past the point of people being ignorant on what is high quality and what's not. Especially through COVID, I think COVID did a lot of work with like people had to learn to do stuff at home. And so they learned what we're doing in the cafes at home. Like so many people have their own home setups now and are making syrup. We have a lady that comes in and she makes her own elderflower syrup and like
That's
brings it
sick.
in a travel cup with her every day because that's just what she likes. And I'm like, that's dope.
That's
So.
dope. Yeah, don't look down on that either. I think getting back into specialty drinks, it is a way to differentiate. Wow, that was wrong.
Oh, that was a hard word.
Differentiate your cafe,
Differentiate. Yeah.
as well as be a way. I think for me, the way I look at specialty drinks is to spark is a way to bring people into this industry, because a good specialty drink shouldn't just be try this cool syrup that we made. It should be try this unique take on tasting this coffee, or try this unique taste of something you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
And most of the
Like, yeah,
time, I want that focus on coffee.
yeah.
But I think you could also do it in tea forms, or you can do it with even if you're making like a house-made club soda type mocktail deal,
Yeah. Well,
you,
it's like with Drew,
yeah.
talking about like making nitro teas. That was so cool.
Yeah, that's dope. And I
And
think
all he's doing is
something,
adding nitrogen.
yeah, I think something that goes through my head in making a drink is, first of all, the flavors that I want to put together. So I come up with a syrup, and then I come up with a base, whether that's water, juice, lemonade, sparkling water, some type of flavored club soda or something. And then putting those together and being like, what coffee would bring all of this together? And not just, and I think for me, I'd much rather have an espresso-based specialty drink than anything else.
Yeah.
One, it looks cooler for presentation. Two, I think you get, since espresso is a lot more concentrated, but you also get nice acidity, you get florality out of most of them. It brings like characteristics to the drink that you wouldn't get through any other brewing method.
Yeah.
It's also fresh, you know, like regardless of how much it's gonna degrade over time if you make it, if you pull the shot like the day of and then pre-batch it, or the day before, I mean, or using cold brew. I think we may use cold brew in a batch latte
Yeah.
for our pop-up, and that was great. You know, it really can't be better than that.
Yeah, and like to explain it more too, like we wanted to offer, and basically our one of our rules that we kind of set and like expectations that we set for ourselves was we were not going to put any syrups on the menu that we did not make ourselves. And so when it came to we really wanted to keep we needed an option on the menu for everybody on this. So like very basic, like iced sweet latte. And we were thinking like, okay, yeah, we can go down and like make some crazy syrup that tastes super basic, but like, why not just do a basic vanilla showing how good vanilla can actually be. And I'm pretty sure we used just some vanilla bean paste.
Because you get the specs in there, man. The specs are
Yeah.
so good. It doesn't,
Yeah. And
it
then,
may, and it just is better.
yeah, and so we did a little bit of that in these like 4-quart Cambros. We did syrup, cold brew concentrate, and oat milk, so we could keep it open for everybody to have as well. No dairy restrictions.
And most people who
And
want a vanilla latte will order it with oat milk, even regardless of if they like, or we'll take it. So if like I drink whole milk and I want a vanilla latte, and they're like, oh, well, you only have an oat milk. Oh, that's fine.
yeah, because it's not going to hurt you
No.
to drink oat milk. It's going to hurt somebody to drink cold milk if
Yeah.
they need oat milk.
And I
So yeah, we
honestly,
had like,
yeah,
I
I
think
think,
we sold more of those than anything. Like
yeah.
we
And it
sold
was
so
like,
much.
we also just wanted, like, you go into a cafe, you order an oat milk latte with vanilla oat milk latte, it's going to be $7.
Yeah, upcharge.
And that's ridiculous. Like,
Yeah, I
and
think
we were
I
like, we wanted, first of all, we wanted to keep our whole menu cheap,
Yeah.
relatively. Obviously, we actually made a transparency list so you could see how much we paid for every single item going into every single drink and based our price off of that. We still had a profit margin on the drinks, but we're not, it's not like
That
we
was small.
have like other cafes where you're making $5 every drink.
Right.
That wasn't what we were doing. But yeah, we pre-batched it. I think this is something that's kind of genius. Like if we actually had a cafe space, putting that on a draft and just being able to pull a vanilla latte, like that'd be sick. And it
That'd be cool.
also saves your ticket times. Like you can take more time to do your more advanced mocktails or shake things and get the people who want cold brew or just a basic latte in and out of the door, because that's exactly what I was talking about earlier in this episode. That's going
Yeah.
to be the majority of people that come into your cafe.
But it's also doing it in a way to like getting them in and out of the door that still makes them feel like they're investing in something that's great. 'Cause I mean, seeing somebody full a lot a fully cre like a fully put together vanilla latte out of a beer tap is so cool. Like
Yeah,
no
that'd
one's
be
really doing it.
sick.
Like that's awesome.
Yeah.
So Not that we did that. We poured it out of the Cambros. We
It
did
was
not
still
have
cool though.
taps.
It was still cool though.
It was,
And
yeah,
they
people were
still
like,
got their
oh.
drinks pretty fast.
Yeah, and then the people that got like our Sprojito or the Kush and the Swisha, those like just more drinks with more components, they the people who got the vanilla latte weren't waiting behind them, and we
Yeah.
got to put more focus, not we got to put more focus into
Not rushing
making
the
sure
drinks and like getting
every
things
step
all
of the
over the place.
process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
And that's
yeah.
another thing with specialty drinks, like taking everything we're saying and then being like, all right, I'm going to make this advanced menu and I'm not going to focus on bar flow, or I'm not going to focus on how long it's going to take to do or repeatability. I
Yeah.
think in a cafe space, you have to think about repeatability and consistency. That has to be on your mind. But in my, I don't think it comes over quality. Like, regardless, you is this should always be focused on
Oh yeah.
quality and how repeatably I can do make this quality, and not how many of these drinks I can make in this amount of time, and just focus
Yeah.
on quantity.
If that batch vanilla latte didn't taste good, we were not going to put it on. But it ended up tasting really good. And so we're like, all right, this just makes our life a little bit easier. So
And we
I
didn't
think
even
too.
use like a weird, like we used a prodigal coffee in that latte. And it
Yeah.
worked
Yeah.
perfect. Like,
Yeah, we
it's not
did.
like we bought like some random
Cheap.
qualities coffee at Schnucks and threw it in the latte. Like, we still
Yeah.
used like really high quality
Specialty.
coffee.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was a fun time. But like what got us back into that? Oh, just go the extra mile, I
Yeah,
think should
100%.
really be the
And
mindset with making drinks. And especially in the summer, I think summer's such a cool season for coffee because it's the one that has no expectations. I think there's fall, which is pumpkin spice, everything. There's winter, peppermint, anything. Even spring has like more of a
some type of
floral,
lavender
fruity,
type, yeah.
yeah, lavender, expectations there. Whereas in the summer, there's nothing. Like you're free to do whatever. So really play around with things, and it goes back to what Lewis was saying of just like, for a lot of people, like a seasonal menu is something that they don't even really look at much. But if you have something on there that's eye-catching, that's also gonna put them a step further into their coffee journey. Why not? And just overall education on, like, let's say you're passionate about, I don't know, gochujang, and you really want to showcase gochujang. That could easily be put into some sort of drink. Like we could probably name like three off the top of our heads that could go into. Like I think we even thought about doing some like gochujang.
I
What was
really
it?
want to do a gochujang mocha recently. I've been thinking about making like
Yeah.
a spicy mocha with some sort of spice. You can do a gochujang caramel. It's pretty common. That's like a cookie. You could soak oranges in gochujang and then dry them and then put that as a garnish on top of your, like, this is just a random
Yeah.
thing that
Yeah.
like
I think too, like we're not like I will say like what we're saying here is definitely not prescriptive. Like we're not saying that everyone has to do it this way. Because at the end of the day, like we say it all the time, we don't really know what's going on half the time. Like we can
Yeah.
say 10 years from now that we should all be using like a one brand of syrups and that would be the standard. Who knows? It's the coffee industry. It's always changing. But what we are saying is that I will say like one, know your audience, and if they love their iced caramel lattes, that's perfectly fine. But I still would always recommend
I mean,
going the extra mile, throwing
yeah.
something on the menu, and then trying to educate your clientele on what coffee can be.
Yeah, and I think your drinks on your menu should represent you as a brand. And I think that's what should be foremost, like, sought after in making a menu is why, first of all, why should people choose your cafe or your space to come drink? You know what I'm saying? It's not, if it's not a unique experience, they're not going to come. They're not going to come back. And so that's what I want to see, and that's kind of what I'm pushing here is like make your drinks unique, to make your drinks something that represents you, but also like pull something unique out of there and make it something to where people want to come back and try maybe the next new drink that comes out in the fall, or try
Yeah.
another thing on your specialty menu, or even if it was just a basic caramel latte or white mocha latte, like I feel like what can you do to make that different? And take that as you will, but that's just kind of what I want to get after here, because looking at summer menus, you're going to see the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
And so as a cafe, what can you do to make yourself different, is what I'd like to see more of. And using us as an example for that is just the only menu I really have experience working on. Obviously, I've worked for
Yeah.
certain cafes, but I want to keep this separate to our brand, and this pop-up was the only thing that we've done as just us two making a menu. So that's why we're talking. We're not hyping ourselves up in any way, but we're hyping ourselves up.
Yeah, we could we the same way that we went on about all the cool things we did, we can go on about how awful we did at the same time. Like
Yeah.
there's so
Barflow
much that
wise
we
did not focus on that at all.
yeah
We didn't even
there's
have
so much that
a
we went
we're not
wrong
even gonna
with.
go into that.
We didn't even know if we were gonna be able to run our machines on power as when we had a line going across the bar. Like it was crazy. So
Yeah.
which was wild. I think back to that a lot. I'm like, wow. Cause it was, and yeah,
The
anyways,
next
fun.
one's gonna go a lot smoother. Keep your eyes
Oh,
open.
it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Also, I guess we'll talk about kind of like our favorite summer drinks that we've had. I don't know. I'll let you go. I think you've been to more cafes than I have. I'm very confident in saying that. So what's been your favorite?
I really like a unique espresso tonic. I've been liking what I've been making recently, which it is. I always like seeing like a cool, that it's not just espresso and tonic water. Like I prefer to see like a
Yeah.
cool syrup that's in there, or something herbal that brings out different notes to the coffee, even just an orange slice, or some sort of like something
That's
else going
easy.
on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. And I feel like that's kind of wrong, because you're just ordering espresso and tonic. Why would you get anything else besides espresso and tonic? Well, listen.
Well, shut up. Well, it's like a gin and tonic. It's cool when people do a riff on that.
But yeah, going into cafes, I think maybe even like, I don't know, man. I really like Blueprints, like sodas that they do, that they
Yeah.
make in-house. That's really cool. And that's not necessarily like a summer drink, but I always like iced chais. And they have a chai soda there. And so that's really cool. It's also different. Going on to everything that we've talked about this episode, have you ever seen like that sort of style of thing before? Probably not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
I'm
like
trying to
chai.
find. I'm trying to find. So there was a place in Atlanta that Lily and I went to, and it was, Muchacho, and they had it was a oh it was called a sorghum shaker, and it was espresso, sorghum, malt, and oat milk shaken and served over ice, and it was like the super sweet sweet. It was like such a light sweetness, but it was also like refreshing at the same time, and it was super good. And then I also got like a an espresso old fashioned, which they claim to be the first ones to do it. Cool. I think I thought it was awesome. It's I think I can't remember their like full exact recipe, but I'm pretty sure it was just espresso simple. And some Angostura bitters, I think, and then orange peel in the cup as well. It was really good though. But I the sorghum shaker was fire.
Yeah, I think this is just a something in the industry, and honestly, like why we did this episode on these things and just kind of yapped about it is more of I just want to see more unique things out there. Going to places and trying their summer drinks. I want to
Yeah.
see, I think something that I want to see is just more coffee focused and like showing me not your unique syrups, but the unique takes on your coffee, would be cool to
Yeah.
see.
Yeah, just showing how versatile like coffee can be. And there's just there it can really change the flavor profile. A tip I will give, and this is something that through experience that I've found, is if you're ever wanting to make some sort of coffee mocktail, any cocktail that uses gin or sweet vermouth, which usually go hand in hand, but any cocktail that uses gin or sweet vermouth, or even whiskey, I have found that coffee replaces it in a mocktail like so well. For example, we did like a blood and sand coffee riff, and it was an NA coffee riff for a concert, and it was a
NA meaning non-alcoholic mocktail.
non-alcoholic, not North America. Yeah. And so
I was confused for a second.
as all of us were, yeah.
Yeah.
It was orange juice, grenadine, and then we did a cold brew concentrate. And usually it's orange juice, grenadine, and gin. And it was fire. It was incredible.
Yeah. I think
But yeah.
it's just like playing around, asking questions, trying different things you've never tried before. And not and focusing on, I think specialty drinks are, again, like going back to everything I've saying, like it's just such a good way to introduce people into your coffee world and to represent your brand and to just be like, this is what makes us unique. And I think that's what needs to be focused on more. And just like everybody's gonna look at your specialty menu.
Yeah.
Make it catch their eye. Make something unique. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, make something that's gonna be your next vanilla latte. Make something that's gonna replace it. That's gonna be so out there, but so good that people can't help but switch from their usual iced vanilla and get that. Like that should be the end goal of like, I want this to be our thing.
What people want, like, want to be known for, basically. But yeah,
Yeah.
so getting back into kind of sidecar,
Sidecar.
what do you want to work on this summer, man? Like, what is something that you towards like towards August you want to have like completed, not necessarily in your, I guess more in your coffee journey, but just like maybe like what do you
Maybe
want to?
four. I don't know. I think for sidecar specifically, I think more connections is always a goal. Just the more and more people we can talk to and meet and reach out, and have more of an outreach for. Obviously, like there's the goal of I want the podcast to have more outreach. I want more people listening. And like at the end of the day, like I don't care if we have 15 or 1500 people listening, like as long as the numbers are growing,
Not
and
even numbers
people
growing,
are
but just as that we
actually,
have an influence, you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah, some
it's
sort of
really cool to
impact
see
on,
like people still
yeah.
messaging me like this was a cool episode or
Yeah.
oh, I appreciated you talking about this. That was really cool. So I mean
I
it
also
makes my
hope
day
that
every single
like
time anybody talks about my podcast. So
yeah, I also
I'm tired of
think
getting
too
made
like
fun of.
cons I think consistent numbers, like having not just people listening to one episode, people listening to multiple episodes. I would just love just to keep that going, actually like growing, having people that constantly listen to us for whatever reason.
But yeah, I think that's
I
more of like
think,
a sidecar update, and I just want to apologize
yeah,
on
but
for us. I think I definitely did not think I was going to be as busy as I was this summer. Working two
dude,
jobs right now,
it's insane.
running.
Yeah.
And so yeah, just look, keep your eyes out on this sidecar podcast. We're still working on stuff.
Yeah.
We just need I need to
But
become better at that. Yeah.
no, you're good. I think also in coffee specifically, I just want to, I don't know. I'm at a point now where like there's so many like little niche things in the coffee industry that I want to learn more about.
Yeah.
They're like you really got to put in a lot of effort to find the resources, but I want to find them and I want to learn more about them. Specifically like as a roaster, learning more about what's going on in the roaster, not just reading through Scott Rouse Roasting Companion, but like, because really that's surface level. compared to what he all like everything that he actually knows, because he had to create kind of a beginner's guide. I just want to know what's going on in the bean,
I want to know
and
in that
why.
bean, boy.
Yeah.
What's going on in
And
there?
then I think for personal within coffee, I want to become a better educator,
Yeah.
and like just translating knowledge into soluble, not soluble,
Obtainable.
absorbable,
Yeah.
obtainable, absorbable material, I is what I'm gonna say. But there was another word I'm looking for. But I just want to become a better educator. And then, yeah, what about you? What do you want to work on in coffee?
I think not being complacent. I think continuing to ask
My latte
questions
art.
real. I think actually sitting down with my coffee and giving myself time, like tasting, what can I do better, taking notes. I think recently, especially being so busy, I'm just brewing coffee and going, and not really experiencing it. And I think that's something that I'm kind of missing right now is just, even just sitting down with, I think I appreciated like having Tyler here at home and being able, hey, like you want to come over, let's try some coffees.
Yeah,
And
instead
I
of
think that's
like working
something
on
that's,
bar together.
yeah, I think that's something that's really important within the coffee industry is sharing. And going back to our Pepe episode, like he talks about like brewing coffee for people and this experience that we can share. And that's one of my reasons I like coffee so much is you can have those experiences. And I think I definitely want to make more filter coffee. I'm not happy with my filter coffee recently. Like I'm making decent, but I'm not really like focusing on it and learning my pours and really caring about every aspect of it. I'm just kind of redoing the same recipe. And I think that might come with either getting new filter papers or getting a new brewer, but that's something that I kind of want to do within kind of my role in coffee. I think I just want to focus on being more, I guess, having more of an outreach. I think, I just started that social media. I think I would love to start posting coffee videos and explaining like what I'm doing, why I care so much. And just being able to express, I guess, knowledge, but my own viewpoint on coffee itself and why I think that's important for everybody to do. But that's just what I want to work on and actually like making time. I think everybody has more energy than they think. I think once I get home, I just turn my brain off. And
Yeah.
I think now either
Just want to
waking
take a
up,
nap
oh,
sometimes.
yeah. Either waking up earlier or just giving myself more time to create or educate or even just sit down with a cup of coffee and taste it. But yeah, it's just getting more into like coffee is always a challenge, regardless of what stage you're at. It's always going to be something that you're working towards. And I am grateful for that. And it just keeps me engaged into it. I'm excited to get back into Cape Girardeau. I'm excited to focus more on this podcast, and cook up more things before you go off to New York, and seeing what we can do,
Yeah.
dude. But
Oh, we
yeah,
can do a
so
lot.
that's a little summer update for you guys with the Sidecar podcast. We kind of rambled, but I think this is just something that I've been thinking about more and more is just like, especially being back on bar. Thinking more about how like the customer interaction is, because I think that's something you can forget about, and especially not working in a cafe, like when are you going to think about like what the process
Yeah.
of serving someone is when you don't actually do that on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, like what are you going to think about? When do you ever think about, "Oh, I have 1 gallon of milk left. I got to run back, but I have five drinks on screen." Dang. Or I'm trying to think, what was it that you texted me about the other day that was like, you're like, "I forgot about having to remake someone's drink when it was supposed to be oat milk or like a
Oh
milk
yeah.
substitute and you put whole milk." Because you just get in the habit of putting whole milk in drinks. That's what it was. And I was like, yeah, that It
That
happens
was
all
like
the
my
time.
first week back, like just like remembering to triple, quadruple check which milk goes in what drink and what syrups are in which. Just working at a bar, but I love it. I am not getting sick of it.
It's so much
I
fun.
absolutely really enjoy service, and I really enjoy working in coffee and representing coffee. So yeah, it's
Yeah,
something I'm
it's a
never
fun
gonna get
time.
sick of. But yeah, so
Yeah.
this is Sidecar. Keep your eyes out on the horizon. We got some stuff coming,
Yeah,
especially in the
got some.
next couple weeks. We got a cool interview
Yo.
we're getting planned.
Yep.
We also will be cooking up some more things in August. So yeah, keep your eyes out on that. We appreciate you guys. We're gonna stay consistent with you and making sure that we're gonna get some content up for you guys, and just continuing to push ourselves in what we can do. So we appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Yep. See ya.